Well, I guess thank you to everyone who's tuning in for Liquipedia's first strategic Q&A. There's been a lot of changes lately in modern TVZ, which a lot of people are having difficulty adapting to, even pro gamers. So our intentions are really just to go through the matchup with some people who understand it better than everyone else. Hosting it today is going to be myself, Chill, and I'm going to be joined by the Terran strategic guy from Liquipedia, who is Ver.
Hello there, I'm Ver. As was stated, I'm the head of Terran strategy for Liquipedia. And just overall, I hope everyone will enjoy the cast, and let's have a good discussion.
All right, and our experts today are going to be the most famous Terrans in esports. We're joined with Mr. Artosis himself and the only white hope left, Idra. So take it away, Dan.
Yo, I am Artosis. I am glad to be here alongside my favorite little nerd, Idra. We hope to answer all of your questions about this new mech, Holobazoo, and yeah.
And explain why none of it should work, but Zergs don't really know what they're doing.
Exactly.
Let's start there. In terms of the TVZ matchup, do you think mech makes things easier on the Zerg or harder on the Zerg? And keep in mind, we're not talking about pro gamers here. We're talking about kind of middle to upper tier foreigners.
Well, the thing is that most people, including pro gamers, don't really understand how to play against mech exactly. They don't understand the fact that, you know, all you really have to do is protect your economy and mass up. So, I mean, that's hard to answer on both levels. I think it should make things a little bit easier for Zerg, because Terran just doesn't do as much with mech. You don't have to be as quick with Zerg and stuff like that. But people just don't know how to play against it right now, so I think it's seeming harder because people are used to 10 years of Bionic play.
Yeah, yeah, that's right. All you really have to do is defend against the Vulture Harass and you're good to go. You just sit back and macro. It basically turns it into PvT, except the Zergs aren't used to Vultures yet, so that makes it all weird.
Okay, so then, say you're talking to someone who's kind of at he's a Terran at the peak of C+, B-, and, you know, there's this kind of revolution coming in. It's been coming for a while, but we're seeing a lot of players use mech on specific maps. Is this just straight up something you would recommend? You know, always play mech on these maps? Is it dependent on the opponent? Is it dependent on the maps? Or would you advise them that, you know, fundamentally mech isn't as good as bio, just, you know, this change is going to pass, stick with Bionic play?
It definitely depends a lot on the maps. On something like Destination, where bio is so bad, and mechanic can work if you play it properly, the really turtly vessel heavy style that Flash played, then it's better than Bionic. But once Zergs get used to the change and figure out how to deal with mech properly, it's going to be weaker than bio on most maps. So really, long term, it would be in their best interest to just stick with bio, or if anything, look at the mech into bio builds that players like Fantasy use now, and in the long run, that'll be better for them.
Yeah, and another thing to keep in mind is these lower level players, they don't have as much APM, their multitasking isn't as good, and mech is actually really easy to do APM wise. You kind of just sit in your base. The only thing you have to do out on the map really is harass with vultures. So in that sense, mech can be really good for them, because obviously Bionic, to macro that properly, it really takes about 300 APM and some pretty hardcore multitasking. It's really the most mechanic-intensive thing to do in StarCraft. So in that way, mech can be good for these lower-level players to be playing.
Well, it's good in that it gets them easier wins, but it's not really going to help them develop as players. So, you know, long run, it's not a good thing.
Indeed, if they are aiming to be a pro gamer, then probably not quite as good as going Bionic.
Okay, but for the rest of us.
For the rest of you, I think it can be quite an intelligent choice.
Okay, so let's keep it kind of on this basic introduction then. Let's just go through the maps quickly where you guys personally think Mech is better than any sort of Bionic opening.
Well, Destination is the biggest one, I think.
Yeah, Destination, definitely. That map is actually pretty good with the Mech. You can cut it off really easily. And as he was saying,
hey, what's up,
earlier,
guys?
Hey, Day 9. Nice
hey,
to see
sorry,
you.
My internet decided to go out right at like 11:30 or so. So, hello!
Welcome. We've had an extremely Terran-biased thing. We were just talking about how... we believe that Mech is not quite as good as it's hyped up to be, and people are kind of playing versus it wrong overall. What are your thoughts?
And it's eventually going to fade out.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't really think it's necessarily so much, like, really bad or really good. I think it's kind of like an alternative, and definitely for the most part, people are playing against it totally wrong. I think, like, for the most part, it's... There's still this huge reliance on Hive. A lot of Zerg players think is the key to stopping any Terran, but of course it's just like what you do against Medic Marine. So I mean, generally it's just sort of applying the wrong logic to the wrong situation. I mean, I don't think it'll necessarily fade out though. I think it's definitely really strong in a lot of maps though. It's just sort of like a good alternative.
Awkward silence.
Oh, I thought my internet died again.
Were
you expecting me to be more long-winded? I'll try harder next time.
No. We were just going through the basically at a really high level, which maps are good for Mech. You know, which maps should people consider trying out Mech if they're completely inexperienced with it. And Destination is an obvious one. So I'd like to hear your thoughts on some other ones outside of Destination.
Why exactly would you say Destination's an obvious one?
Well, I think it's...
Go ahead.
I think it's mainly just because it's such a bad map for Bionic. Trying to defend that natural and then trying to push across bridges and everything like that, it really doesn't work.
Indeed.
Is it really that tough for Bionic?
It is quite hard to try to actually bust a third base. Let's say they take the third base over that tiny little bridge, and you're trying to bust that. Have you ever tried to get Marine Medic over there against Sunken Lurker? It's quite disgusting.
Yeah, I guess that is why I felt so comfortable with those expansions. I was like, man, I must be, like, really, really good. And I just, you know, kind of ended it with that.
Exactly.
I mean, for me, like, the big thing that makes a map really good for Mech is having really easily defendable third and fourth gases. Like, Katrina, is, in my eyes, is, like, the perfect Mech map. Because no matter what direction you push, there's an expansion there. And it almost always has gas. And you win even if your opponent has, like, 50 Guardians.
Yeah, the third gas is really big because it lets you get vessels without really sacrificing your Mech. And that's...
Yeah, and likewise, don't mech on Medusa. Just don't do it. I mean, I know you see, like, pros do it, and it looks cool, but I mean, they're like, oh man, I just get so happy when I'm playing Medusa and my opponent starts meching. It's
yeah,
just
mech
the
is
best feeling
terrible.
In the world.
Definitely do not want to mech on Medusa.
Yeah, because, I mean, the big thing that mech is good at is being really hard to kill. It has an unbelievably strong composition. There's no real good logical way to beat it. Because with Medic Marine, you can just have like four lurkers and swarm, and you're just like, oh, I can just hold off as much as I want. But against the mech, you just need a lot of stuff. And really, that's the only important key to stopping it. Therefore, I mean, expanding a lot and abusing Mech's lack of mobility is like the key thing, and Medusa allows for that perfectly because all the expansions are off that center spoke and they're all really awkward to get to, so you kind of have to kill them one at a time. And Zerg can take the whole map, like in that hilarious GG play versus Flash game. That was just rewarding to see him going like Mech, like
Muta,
going Ultralisk Muta. Yeah, that's such a BGH unit combination. It's like, what are you doing this game? Oh, I'm going Muta Ultra. Oh, sweet, man. Good luck. I'm going Mech Scout.
That was really well said.
Okay, thanks. But I mean, okay, so I'm a little bit brain dead for other maps, just because I've been, trying to yell at my internet service provider to get him to hook me back up. But what are some other like maps that you like a lot for mech? Because personally, I didn't necessarily think Destination was particularly good or bad for mech, but I definitely didn't realize that it was so difficult for Medic Marine.
Yeah,
Personally, I
that's
prefer
how I
bio on
base what I
most
like
maps, so.
mech. Yeah, you're a bio player, but I mean, personally, I just any map where I find Bionic to be ridiculously hard, both defending mutas at my natural and just overall, moving around the map is aren't maps that I like mech on. And currently, the only one that I really use mech on a lot is Destination. I use it on Colosseum some, but I don't think it's really that good there, actually. I just like it there for because the third gas is so easy to get.
Yeah, I mean, I do like doing or like playing against mech on Colosseum, because again, similar to what I was just saying about Medusa, you can take like the opposite mains or even those opposite mains naturals on the high ground and just macro really hard, and whatever direction the mech army chooses to attack to, he's moving away from your other expansions, so it's just really easy to hold the mid.
Yeah, mech is kind of weird on Colosseum because it has the features you want, really easy to establish economy so you can get that big mass, like big invincible mass moving out, but then you also have the Zerg taking the entire map and you have to deal with that, so it's kind of a weird trade-off.
Yeah, and the
Yeah, it's
fact
like
that you
impossible
can't
to
hold a fourth base no matter what you
Yeah.
do, you have to kill them
Yeah.
off three base. It's like there is no fourth base on that map.
I know. Isn't that the exact same reason why it's really hard in Terran versus Protoss? I
Yes.
mean, it,
It's like you
I
get this
feel like
one
it would feel
push. You get that one
identically.
push, and if they storm properly, you die.
Yep. But don't get us started on TVP. Jesus. You don't want to see that.
Oh, that imbalanced matchup.
What about Heartbreak? What are your thoughts about mech on there?
Heartbreak is just an unbelievably hard map. That map is just so
Unless you're
hard in
Protoss.
every matchup, no matter what you're doing. Dude,
Not
even
in
for
Protoss versus
Protoss
Terran, but
is. Well, actually, Protoss versus Zerg seems. Actually, yeah, I guess, yeah. Yeah, that map. I hate that map. That map's so Protoss imbalanced. I
that
mean,
map is
because.
ridiculous, yeah.
I mean, the big thing that I always say when I look at Heartbreak Ridge is that taking a fourth base is really hard. Everything you do has to be geared towards using three bases really, really well, because taking a fourth is just the most awkward thing in the universe.
Yeah, it is. And that map, mech-wise, TVZ, I've been doing both builds on Icy Cup, trying them both out, mech and Bionic. And I don't know, I haven't really decided on this map yet. It's really hard to defend mutas with Bionic, and for that reason I've been going mech slightly more than Bionic. And the third gas is not really that hard to take because of the way you can kind of siege tanks to block off that path to it. So I'm leaning right now slightly towards mech on that map.
Yeah, and I think the biggest thing also to consider with Medic Marine is that Zerg can move around that center very easily with Lurkerling and Defiler. I mean, if you're on like the bottom lane, Zerg can just go in the top lane and just push really, really well. So unless you're doing some sort of super late game oriented build where you already have mines on the other path and an absurd amount of vessels, then it's really good for Zerg in the mid game once they get Defilers. But I mean, even then, the map is just it's just like impossible. Mech's fine on it, in my opinion.
That's
Okay,
one
I
map where
just go ahead.
I think it depends a lot on the Zerg's playstyle, because I usually go Bio on there, but only because the two hatch play is so common with Zerg. And as long as you defend your natural well, then you get a really strong timing push, because everyone goes two hatch into like that three gas mass lurker, just normal style. So if you play Bio really well into that, you get this great timing push. But I think if Zerg's played more macro heavy, then mech would be really good on there, because yeah, it gives you the easy defense of the natural and the quick third gas, and it's really hard for Zerg to take a big economy, which is so important with mech. Like, they only have a few expos available.
Yeah, and it's like the only way to stop a competent mech player. Because in one of the example games we had to watch today, in a Flash versus Effort, I mean, really, Flash demonstrated that mech is very good at holding a defensive position really, really easily. And the only way that Zerg would have been able to do it is by taking a ton of expansions. And because, as I mentioned before, Heartbreak Ridge makes taking a fourth and fifth so hard, you just can't get a good late game setup for Zerg against mech.
Okay, well, that was our game one in the examples. We have three example games here, which are Flash vs. Effort at Destination, and then Jadong Sky High at Destination, and finally, I believe it was Kanata Jadong at Heartbreak Ridge. So game one, actually, I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, Flash opened with the proxy eBay at Natural of Effort. How effective, from both a Terran and Zerg perspective, is this build? Is this something people should do every game?
I think the eBay is a really, really good idea. It's not required, yes, but it is very strong.
Yeah, I mean, it. I mean, really, I feel like the... Well, I mean, since you asked it, I answer. I feel like the eBay isn't, the most important part of that game, or really of any mech strategy. I think it's a fine thing to do on two-player maps. I mean, when I'm Zerg and I look at that, I'm just kind of like, oh, well, that's unfortunate. I mean, I don't, freak out and send, 50 drones to go kill it off, but I think Effort did pretty much what you're supposed to do, because especially on Destination, you can't do something like just build your hatchery somewhere else. That's what a lot of players tend to do when they see the eBay, is they'll go to their left expansion and then they'll just build the hatch there and say, oh, I'm going to two hatch off these bases. Because if your opponent does go Vulture, which is exactly what Flash ended up doing, it's so hard to hold your front because Vultures pretty much just get to walk right into your main. So, I mean, Effort, I think, definitely did the right thing by setting up that block early with his first hatch.
Something, yeah. I think, I was just going to mention something, especially for players who are kind of up and coming at the C plus level. I like the eBay because it puts your opponent kind of on his back foot, and if you know the timings, how everything changes when you do the eBay and your opponent doesn't, I mean, I don't think it gives an inherent advantage to the Terran who's doing that, but I think it kind of sends you down a different path. And if you're used to that path, you know, your opponent might not be. It's similar in ZVP. I think both 9 pool and 12 hatch are fine, but you should play to the strength, your own strength as the Zerg. And I think that's something that Terran can look at, especially on two-player maps like that, to kind of take the advantage and take the tempo in their hands right at the get-go.
See, I'd actually say the opposite. I would say that it's dangerous to try to start doing that sort of stuff too early until you're comfortable with just doing standard straight-up play. Because, I mean, for instance, to contrast it with like a 9-pool or a 12-hatch type opening, I mean, obviously if you do the 9-pool, the goal is to pressure the Protoss into making too many cannons, too much defense, and to get map control in that way. But when you make an eBay, you're pretty much making some big assumptions about what opening your Zerg player is going to be doing, because you can make yourself really vulnerable. I mean, I've played a game where I opened up with a 9-pool and he built an eBay, and then I just got to walk right into his main and kill him off. And a lot of times, especially if you're at that C level, you tend to default to playing a little bit too defensively and overreacting. I've definitely played against a lot of players who've built the eBay, and then when I get to his base, he has like way too many SCVs blocking his ramp, and I haven't even really made that many Zerglings, and it can kind of throw their tempo off a little bit. I feel like the eBay is something you want to start incorporating to see the subtle changes that happen once you actually get like the fundamental underlying sort of behaviors that will happen. Because really, if you're playing against a competent Zerg player, he's not going to be deviating drastically just because he saw an eBay there. He's going to be sort of rearranging what he's supposed to be doing so that he can get back on his on the same track he wanted to be on. But I think that only at the C level would you see a reaction that would be so wrong that it would justify doing it at the C level.
Well, something I'd like to add in there is really what you were saying there, Chill. If you know any build that people don't play against a lot, like let's say 2-port Wraith TVT, that's not popular anymore, but if you know all the ins and outs and branches from that, you're going to have a slight advantage, even if it's not the best thing in the world, which is... I mean, it could be similar for the eBay in this way, but if you're actually trying to get better, as Day9 was saying there, this isn't a build you want to do too often because it's actually somewhat complicated overall how to adapt to various things Zerg can do there.
And also to gripe for a little bit, or I guess nitpick, like I would actually say that, because I distinguish between an opening and a build. For me, my build is like my long-term total game plan and everything. And my opening is just, you know, obviously what I open with. So I would say that like the eBay thing is just an opening for a pretty typical mech build, which is really just the two factory with one add-on into Goliath expand pretty quickly. Oh, I was just going to say that really that's the sort of fundamental core to what's going on, less so the eBay, in my opinion.
Actually, in some situations, eBay can be part of like a whole big game plan thing, because the thing is, well, you were saying that only at sea level you get Zergs who react kind of really badly, but it's really popular to actually go pool first instead of just pulling drones and kill it, and then go into the really fast two-hatch Muta with speedlings to block the Vulture, because you don't get it sunken in time. But if you can force them to do that, or you do the eBay, and then when they do that, you go two-fact speed Vulture, it's like almost a free win, because they have to keep pumping speedlings to defend the Vultures, and then they have no econ Mutas against two-factory Goliath, and you just defend and take your expansion and go into a Goliath tank timing push, and you can have that whole game planned out and, you know, just like control everything because of the eBay. So it's not always just a little one-off tactic you use.
No, but that's exactly what I'm saying, is that like you should have an underlying build planned and then say, should this opening do what I want to do? Does it help? Does it contribute in some way?
Oh,
so,
well,
for instance,
I
if you did want
like
to play...
Oh, yeah, because...
Well, yeah, because I feel like what Flash did have that, what you said, planned in. If the Zerg did do exactly that, he had a great way to crush it. But if Zerg didn't react in the wrong way, he still had a very standard, straightforward, normal way to play. And I always want to make sure that no matter what build people do, even if it does have a lot of those awesome timing pushes like what you're talking about, that you still have some sort of underlying fundamental stable play that can happen if he doesn't do the thing that, in a sense, you're hoping he does.
Oh, yeah, I don't think the eBay really takes away from that, because it's almost guaranteed to do some damage. Even if they open pool first straight away, you're going to have that wall in, so their lings aren't going to do anything. And if they are going 12 hatch, then you just delay them. You either force them to pull drones or do a late pool first. So, you know, it's
Wait, what did
of,
you mean by take away?
It's
think
part
I'm
of a good solid build order, even against... I'm not sure exactly. I'm sorry.
I was just saying... I was saying more that... someone shouldn't think of, like, because a lot of times when people think about build orders, they think from the start of the game forward. So, I mean, for instance, a lot of players would think, okay, I'm going to open up with an eBay, and then they sort of start doing their analysis from there. And what I'm saying instead is that it's more useful to think, what do I want to do? And then to think, oh, okay, maybe an eBay can help me do that. So, for instance, I want to screw up his economy a little bit early, like in that Flash game. I'm going to do this eBay opening to throw it off a little bit. And also, an added advantage after I've made all these decisions is that this timing push can occur if he makes certain mistakes.
Okay.
And,
yeah, that's
and
what I meant.
Again,
like, the eBay...
Yeah, okay. Phew.
The eBay
I thought
is
we were on
of,
the same side.
Like, a build like that. Yeah, I think we kind of are.
All right, looks like we're all friends here.
Yeah, man, we're BFF. You should see the photos I have.
No one should
well, I've
see
seen
those.
Them.
Oh, yeah, I gotta upload those today. For those of you who don't know what I'm talking about, I took a series of photos at BlizzCon, and I am the worst photographer in the world. I covered up, like, the Flash and all of them, and I just started, like, howling with laughter. Actually, let me just start uploading those right now while Chill gives us the next topic.
Well, we've only really talked about the opening of Effort Flash. I don't know if Artosis and Idra want to talk through kind of specifically what did Flash do right in this game, and maybe Day can talk to what Effort did wrong.
Well, you know what I really liked about what Flash did there was extremely vessel-heavy play which gave him a super, super, super strong late game. And yeah. The cool thing about it is that the siege tanks basically, I mean, yeah, you get a ton of siege tanks together with their upgraded attack, and they just melt anything on the ground. And he didn't have to buy Goliaths after his original set of them, because he used turrets basically to fend off Scourge and any stray mutas, and just use the vessels that, I mean, obviously are useful for more than just killing mutas, and that kind of replaced the gigantic amount of Goliaths that you oftentimes see with various mech builds. So, you know, that's, I think, was the main point of this game, like the point to really bring home, is that you need a nice vessel swarm with you if you really want that late game staying power.
Yeah, definitely. The vessels actually get ignored too much in mech play, and especially on Destination. The whole two-base timing push thing really doesn't work if they don't lose drones early and then go mass muta, because you can't take a third guess easily with that style of play, and they can just run around and counter if you try and go out and attack. So really, just playing defensively like that and getting the big vessel mess up is much more powerful, and I don't think that kind of play gets used often enough.
Yeah, the whole countering thing against mech, that's one of the strongest ways to fight against mech, and that's especially one of the reasons why I really hate these builds that are like Goliath timing rushes and stuff, because if Zerg's smart, they're going to counter you, and you're going to be in a really gross position. But vessels, obviously, they're very mobile and very cost-effective, so they kind of fill in these gaps with mech where, you know, if he's countering you with three groups of mutas in your main, you can't walk all your Goliaths back, because then he just flies out and kills your tanks and things just get dirty. So that's kind of what the vessels do for you. And yeah, they're awesome.
Yeah, and one thing that's also to talk about how awesome Flash is, because now that all this has been said, I'm sure a lot of players are going to go out and they're just going to start making vessels when they're meching and go, haha, I'm awesome. But what's really important to note, and you can actually see this if you just stare at the cash counter in the bottom right of the game, Flash intentionally stockpiled up a lot of gas, and he did this by doing that vulture opening. And you see that he continues to make vultures as time progresses. And this was more of a, I'm going to make vultures to free up gas so I can make vessels. A lot of players do the opposite, which is much worse. They sort of run out of gas and go, oh, I guess I'm going to make some vultures now. And if you watch the game, you see that the times at which Flash made those vultures are really well-timed. He's able to check out a lot of expansions. He's able to sort of poke around and then lay mines in the middle so he can move out at the appropriate time, and that's what allowed him to spend all that extra gas on being 2-2 when he first moved across his double bridge and to have 4 or 5 vessels.
Yeah, you can actually kind of see the opposite situation in Skyhigh versus Jadong, one of the other example games, because Skyhigh doesn't balance his resources, like you said, and he doesn't go vessels fast enough. He's just relying on Goliaths, so he never gets that map control, and he doesn't get his vessels at the right time, and he's never able to establish himself because of that. He's never able to get past his bridges, really.
Yeah. I mean, so to answer the question that Chill said, which is, what did effort maybe do wrong there? I really think that if you're pretty convinced your opponent is going mech, you shouldn't focus too much on Mutalisk Harass, because again, that's applying Medic Marine logic to mech. Goliath range crushes Mutalisks if they already have range. So I think effort should have instead been trying to expand a lot more. I definitely think you should get some Mutalisks, because the absolute most basic thing that Zerg is trying to do is make some Mutalisks, so Terran is forced to make some Goliaths, and then you start getting Hydralisks, which forces your Terran player to get a lot of tanks, and just by doing that little change of unit combination, the Terran player has their push delayed by a whole bunch, which is exactly what Zerg wants. I really think that effort focused a little bit too much on Mutalisk Harass and played a little bit too tight with his expansions. Like, he made his fifth hatch also at his third expansion. I definitely think that fifth hatch should have been at another expansion. Because then you can start really abusing Terran by getting lots of Hydralisks and Mutalisks in the mid and late game, and start to really screw up the unit composition of Terran. Because really, when I looked at that right when Flash moved across the double bridge, it was almost all tanks and vultures, four or five vessels, and a pretty small amount of Goliaths, small for what's typical with mech. So that situation would have been great if Effort had an absurd amount of Mutalis to move in and take it out. And really, vessels are going to do serious damage to the Mutalis. Excuse me, vessels are going to do sick damage to the Mutalis. And yeah, the Hydralis are going to like burn up to all the vessels and tanks and mines and whatnot. But that's normal for mech. You just need to have a lot of expansion, so that way you can replenish all your units immediately as Zerg and move in and keep pounding them apart, which Effort was just not in a position to do. He kind of had to stay back and keep expanding, and eventually it was just impossible for him to break anything.
Okay, so let's move on then to the second game, which is also on Destination, but kind of shows a reversal of the situations, which is Sky High against Jadong. Now, as you mentioned, in both of these games, the Zerg player is getting, you know, the typical ball of 11 Mutas, but I specifically noticed Jadong was more using his Mutalis just to defend Vulture Harass, open up expansions, and he would run in, take a peek at Sky High's base, but he wasn't really hanging in there for more than a second. Now, Artosis, when you're opening mech, do you find Muta Harass is as annoying as when you're opening bio, or do you find it pretty easy to thwart? And what I mean by this is, as a Zerg player, should I be using my Mutalis just to defend the harass, or should I actually be harassing Terran back with my Mutas?
Well, if Terran actually knows the timing to properly defend this, which a lot of players, when they start doing mech, have a little bit of trouble with that. You know, it's built in the turret timing for Marine Medic and whatnot. But Goliaths, basically, if you have range when the Mutas get there, it's extremely easy to defend against them. You know, they might kill a few SCVs, but basically you're pounding the Mutas nonstop with those. So, you know, I don't really fear Mutalis Harass at all, as long as I know the actual timing for whatever happened in the early game, because, you know, a lot of things can go differently, like your Vulture Harass does a certain amount of damage or doesn't do damage, or they're going the quicker two-hatch Muta that Ija was speaking about, or the three-hatch or whatever. As long as you know the timing, you should be fine. I don't ever really fear the Mutalis Harass. Normally I can hold it really, really easily, as opposed to when I have Marine Medic, I have to be on top of everything, looking for those Mutas constantly, moving my Marine Medic force around. With Goliath, I put like a few in my main, a few at my expo, have a few turrets here and there, and I'm good to go.
Because okay. In that Jadong, whoever it was, Sky High game. Oh, there we go. Jadong didn't actually get Mutalis. I think that was like one of the... Well, I mean, he got them eventually, but he definitely threw off his opponent early on. If you watch the game, he opens up with two hatch, and then he gets the Hydralis Den to hold off the Vulture Harass, and everything's looking normal from Sky High's point of view. But then you see Jadong take all his workers off gas at his expansion except one. Then he just throws down another hatch in his main and starts expanding. I mean, he got his Spire, and when you look back in Sky High's base, he had all these Goliaths that were ready to hold off some big Mutalisk attack that never really came. And Sky High even spent a lot of money on turrets and all this stuff. In a sense, Jadong, just by building the Spire and letting Sky High know he needed to defend against Mutalisks, that was enough. He didn't need to get the Mutalisks immediately. So then that's when we saw Jadong able to take his expansion so easily. And then when he did get Mutalisks, that's just, again, abusing that same basic idea Zerg's trying to do. If Mutalisks are coming, he forces his opponent to get Goliaths. And then there are no Mutalisks, so Sky High starts to make more tanks and more ground stuff. And then Jadong finally starts getting Mutalisks and starts using them to easily hold off the harassment at all his expansions, but also to screw up the composition of Sky High's army even more. Sky High now is going, oh, now I need to make more Goliaths before I move out. And then, all of a sudden, his vessels are really, really delayed because he was expecting to deal with this mass Hydralisk army when now he needs to have more vessels in order to kill off these Mutalisks, and his timing just gets totally screwed up. And from Zerg's point of view, everything is just feeling very, very easy to pull off. I mean, he's just making the Hydras and expanding, and then he's making Mutalisks and expanding more. And then by the time Sky High's first push comes out, you just attack, move from all sides, and win.
One of the things I actually noticed a difference between Flash and Sky High was that Flash took his mineral only first. My thinking is in mech that gas reigns supreme, but is there a situation that would ever call for you to take your mineral-only first Idra, or is this just a function of it's an easy base to take, I'll just take it on my way to pushing to that third gas expo on destination?
It was mostly just that it was easier to take that game, because he got all the vessels early and stuff, he had a smaller ground army, and he would have overextended himself to go and take the fourth gas as well. So it was just that expo was there, he had extra minerals. It doesn't hurt to have more minerals, because vultures are very strong as well. And he was going a very vulture-heavy army, since he wasn't making as many Goliaths. But it was mostly just the fact that expo was already defended, might as well take it.
Yeah, and if you watch the game, he built that command center fairly early, but that's probably one of those situations where you build a command center early because in a handful of circumstances you can end up taking the gas expanse you want, and if you can't, you can just take the mineral natural and then just lift and sort of move it around.
Yeah, Terran is pretty easy that way. But finally, the last situation we have on this is dealing with drops. This person's asking a question that neither of the games featured drops. What makes you consider drop day in ZVT against mech? Is, you know, drop is kind of suited to 2 points I find against Marines. It's kind of in the later mid game, and then kind of if the game drags out, you consider a kind of a bigger drop. Is that similar to mech, or are we waiting to see more doom drops against mech? What style of drop play should I be using against mech?
Well, the first biggest thing that I would say is not to make it like a linchpin of your strategy, not to open up saying, okay, I'm going to go for drop quickly, because then that sacrifices all the expanding that's so important against mech. So once you do have your expanding set up and you're doing a lot of the underlying things you want to do, like the plus one attack, plus one armor, for Mutalisks, then you can start considering to get drop, because you should already have Speed Overlord at this point. And really, you can use the same logic you use in all the other matchups with drop. Whenever my opponent moves out of his base, I can walk into his main with a drop. You have to be a little more careful against mech, because a lot of times they'll have mines there, and if they get a few tanks and siege up, it's kind of hard to break. So I wouldn't necessarily rely on it as this doom drop per se, but you can definitely screw up Terran's late game if they're starting to overextend themselves. In the flash versus effort game, for instance, it would have been really hard for effort to pull off a drop before flash started to move outside to his double bridge, because if he did attack early when flash was still sort of turtle in his main, flash is going to absolutely walk over it. But right when flash does move out across the double bridge, starts expanding to the left side, a drop in the main would have forced flash to pull a bunch of units back into his main to defend, at which point effort can sort of attack the front. Again, everything is geared towards having a lot of expansions, having a lot more units, and making just enough units be in the wrong place at the wrong time so that you can walk over his front. Really, I've never found cutesy harassment drops, like dropping a few lurkers here and there, to be really of any major impact.
Yeah, and I think Artosis and Idra, you agree?
Yeah, I think using like little mid-sized drops just as a tactic to keep in mind if you see an opening for it, not use it as part of your overall strategy or your build or whatever. Don't be focused on that, but keep in mind that one of mech's big weaknesses is the lack of mobility. So if you see that opening, it's definitely something you should consider, because it can be really strong in the right situation.
Yeah, drops are just there to abuse the lack of mobility, as they were saying. A lot of times you won't even have a situation where you can really drop, especially on a map like Destination. You know, they'll just kind of cut the map in half. There will be anti-air everywhere. There will probably be a vessel swarm. So drops oftentimes, you know, aren't even going to work at all, but you know, any way that you can abuse their lack of mobility, make them run around a little bit more, it's going to buy you time, and therefore you'll have like way more resources, because obviously you have way more bases, and that's just good play against mech.
And oh, I have another totally awesome thing to point out that's super duper 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 important and totally kick ass. So, if you look at Destination and think about Flash's overall game plan, he wasn't really going for any big push at any point. He was going for controlling the two side expansions, the left and the right expansions on the map, which if he has a strong enough blob in the middle defending, he can just sort of edge forward and kill those off and then secure them. It's very similar to what you see in Terran vs. Terran, where the left and right expansions become a super key component of the map. I mean, the thing that really made me think of this is the fact that Artosis said, the map gets cut in half on destination. And what's so awesome about mech on that map is that you can just play defensively, and when Zerg tries to take his half of the map that involves either the left or right expansion or both, again, you can just edge forward and take him out really, really effectively. And Flash abused that, and there was very little effort could do, especially once Flash was 3-3 and had tanks, which, as you'll note, are an imbalanced unit.
Yeah, I think we're going to have to cut that out from the VODs, because I've lost so many games where I'm up like 6 bases to 2, and then someone just sits back, pushes forward. I can't take those two side bases, and I pretty much want to kill myself. So let's move on quickly from that game. move forward into Kanata Jadong on Heartbreak Ridge. Now, this is a very interesting and very purposefully put forward build by Kanata. It was kind of the 8-racks bunker into Ling-proof wall with a vulture into Valkyrie. Now, I know Artosis and Idra for a while had been working on builds involving Valkyrie, and maybe one of you want to talk us through this build.
All right, well, basically this is, you know, he pressures with the 8-racks and goes right into some vultures and a wraith. The wraith gives him scouting, harasses some overlords and all that. Into some mines, into basically it's like a Valkonic. He gets Valks to defend and goes Marine Medic tank timing push. And this is really kind of dependent upon doing a little bit of damage. You know, he killed two or three drones with the three Marines and SCV, and, you know, he got a couple, another with the Wraith. He got an Overlord, and also, you know, he forced him into making a lot of Lings, so it kind of slowed Jadong down, which made the Marine Medic tank timing really, really good. And that's what the Valkonic build is all about, is, you know, causing a little bit of damage and getting this absolutely sick timing off with extra siege tanks, where you just kind of barrel through their army right before Defiler. It's actually like a really hard to pull off timing attack.
Yeah, and I don't know if I'm allowed to say this, but, like, I saw this game, and I don't call this mech. Do other people call this mech? I just call this 1-racks openings that still go Medic Marine. Am I allowed to say that in this Q&A?
Yeah, it's not a mech build. It's, like Dan was saying, it's called Valkonic builds in Korea.
Yeah, because I call things mech because, I mean, there's lots of factories that get built with Goliath tank, and still, this build's totally awesome, and I have all sorts of neat things to say about it, but just in case, I mean,
I think it's included because it's like a fake mech. It looks like a mech opening, but then transitions in.
See. Yeah, well, I played a lot against Froz, so he loves opening Wraith and then going into Medic Marine, so every time I see the Wraith, I'm just like, ugh, I'm going to lose to Medic Marine, so maybe that's just my own personal life problems.
Well, from my eyes, it looked like Jadong got steamrolled pretty convincingly in this game. I don't know if you guys want to comment on specifically what went wrong. One of the things I noticed was that he rushed to Hive fairly quickly, but it looked like he defended the bunker rush, you know, reasonably well. He pulled a lot of drones, but yeah, I think that's completely acceptable. He pushed away the vulture easily. And then his mutas were stopped, you know, fairly convincingly by the Valkyrie. And then when he got pushed out, he just got steamrolled. So where was the mistake from Jadong here?
You know, I don't know if there was a mistake. Maybe Day9 has a different opinion on that. But this is like a very hard to pull off build. You know, basically, if you watch Kanata's point of view, he kind of knows what Jadong's game plan overall this game is going to be, and he counters every single thing Jadong does right as Jadong does it. And, I mean, this is a build that really no one does. Just Fantasy and Kanata are really the only ones that really pull off Valkonic builds with any regularity. And, you know, I think it was just a really well-planned-out build or a well-planned-out game, and Jadong was just on the bad end of that one.
Yeah, also, yeah, there was a point
really
early on where Jadong really has no mobility. Oh, sorry, go ahead. Sorry, there's just a little bit of a delay time, I think, between...
Like, the 8-Rex... It only got a few drones, but it forced him to make quite a few lings and pull all the drones, and then the race slowed him down more, and the Mutas did almost nothing. And really, that gave Kanata enough of an advantage for the timing push to work. And the thing about this is it does give you a really strong timing push, but it's so fragile, because if they get the Defiler out in time, and most Zergs will rush for Defiler pretty fast against it, then there's almost nothing you can do, because you just got your first vessel out. You don't really have the infrastructure set up for a long game, because you were so focused on that one timing push. So really, in a way, it's kind of a cheesy, all-in-ish type build, although it's later mid-game, and you do have more of a backing than normal.
Yeah, there's a lot of games of Quanro against a lot of Terrans. There was this period of time where Quanro was playing against Terrans who pretty much all opted to do this sort of play. And for anyone struggling to beat it, that's just like a lot of good case studies for exactly what Idra was saying, where you can get a Defiler very quickly and it's very difficult for Terran to deal with because he just doesn't really have any vessels. And also, I think that there was this period of time where after Jadong kind of held off all the obnoxious harassment, where I think he could have taken another expansion a little bit earlier, because virtually always when a player opens up with this style of play, he has one Rax, one factory, and one starport, which really isn't enough to make a big army to kill anything off.
Right, so now keeping in mind that the people listening to this are going to be, you know, in the range of D+ to B-, they're not going to be Jadong, and certainly not going to be Kanata. For the person who's listening to this and says, hey, that sounds like an interesting build, maybe it's not going to improve my understanding of the game, but it's just, you know, another tool in my belt. Is this something you recommend people taking a look at, you know, playing a few dozen games of IC Cup, or should they just avoid this? This isn't a build for them.
Oh, are you talking from the Terran's point of view or Zerg's point of view? Like, should they be trying out the Bionic?
It's actually a really, really ridiculously fragile build. Very hard for Terran to pull off. I don't think a low-level Terran would have much success at all with it. Because that timing push, it's just so hard to hit the right timing and use it to, like, full advantage.
You know, at the same time, Zerg might go slightly slower Defiler at that level, so you know it is really hard to pull off, but the extra siege tanks make it super strong before Defiler. It's just once they get to Defiler,
yeah, seriously,
you're gonna get crushed if you're some noob.
Yeah, I mean, I would say newbies, go for it, man. It's awesome. The build is like really fun to do. I've done it, and you feel like the man when you win. But as they said, it's super duper duper easy to lose, so if you do, just blame the build and just assume you're still the best player in the world.
Yep, that's what I do.
That's a good plan.
Someone... Go ahead.
Alright. Just, something I want to point out on the overall build is that Jadong has a hard time preparing against... exactly what Kanata is trying to do, because he doesn't know exactly what Kanata is trying to do. And that, I think, is one of the main strengths of the build, is that it's not just an obvious opening, but it has a lot of tech switches and transition.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of stuff that can happen, but what's key against this sort of play is to just rewatch a lot of replays and set up timings based on what you don't see. Like, a lot of times if I see someone, you know, do any sort of bunker rush, which may or may not happen, and then some, like, a vulture that doesn't have speed or mines, and then if I see an expand really fast, I pretty much know about how many unit-producing structures they have at what time. And you can sort of poke in, you know, if you see a Wraith here or there, or something like that, you can get quite a bit of information. So really, I would say to just really, if you got like a training partner and just said, okay, do this opening, and here's four things I want you to do. Play four games against him when you do the same build and sort of see how everything lines up, and you'll start to see subtle differences that'll kind of help to let you know what your opponent's doing. But definitely, it's not something obvious. It's not like when you're playing against a Medic Marine player and you're harassing with Mutilus and you can literally see his main and you know exactly what's going on. A lot of times your timing gets a little bit thrown off with this build, and unless you're not paying attention to that really subtle stuff, you can get thrown way off.
On the same point, would it be potentially worth it for a reasonably high-level player, or even pros, to open with one factory port and make a Wraith, just like in this build, since the Wraith is a pretty key part of it, since it forces them to get Hydras, and you can see exactly what they're doing. So the Wraith often could be used as a signal that they're heading into the Bionic, but would it potentially be useful to go mech and open with the Wraith to try to fool them into tanking you'll have with a Volcanic build?
Well, you could do something like that, but that would be like an extremely high-level thing. You have to be playing against someone who knows the ins and outs of all these builds. This would have to be literally a top Korean amateur, or, you know, maybe a low-level gamer. So, you know, yeah, you can do tricky metagame stuff like that, but again, it's something like that. That type of trick is going to be completely wasted at, you know, the C plus B minus level, I think.
Yeah, you have to be able to know how someone thinks to play mind games with them, and there's not enough. It's not as standardized at a lower level, so you can't really predict their reactions as well.
Yeah, and I mean, even, I mean, again, the most important thing to note that Idra and Artosis both implied is that if you spend all this money on Wraith, especially gas, to get the starport and the Wraith so early, what does that do that going mech can take advantage of? I mean, and the answer is there's not really much that it can take advantage of unless your opponent does something totally wacky or responds in a way you know exactly how he's going to respond to. I mean, a lot of times players kind of obsess about the idea of tricking or fooling their opponent. And in a lot of circumstances, when you hear about these sort of tricks or things to psych the opponent out, the follow-through, like going mech after getting that Wraith, doesn't take advantage of how you trick them. Like, I see a lot of players who go Citadel of Adun to go Dark Templar Rush, and then they'll cancel when they kill a scouting SCV, and then they'll get a Robotics Bay so they can Reaver Drop. And then their Terran opponent got an Engineering Bay anyways, and they can hold Reaver Drop off totally fine. And, I mean, it's situations like that where, you know, not just in this, but in a lot of them, make sure that whatever trick you're trying to do is actually taking advantage of something.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's just like when you get offensive gassed as Terran, and they make a Zealot. It's like, well, buddy, I'm already making Marines. Why would you make a Zealot?
Yeah, and I think something you mentioned about you kind of psyching out the player and playing mind games at the C plus level is definitely something I think people are missing. I remember when there was that Casey against Jelizer game where he made the fake expo and then you know, just sent the SCVs to mine to make it look like he had expanded.
Oh,
and then,
yeah.
And then he broke. I remember a ton of people being like, oh, that wouldn't have worked on me. I would have sent my Overlord to check, or I would have noticed that the SCVs aren't coming back. It's like, first of all, you wouldn't even have noticed on the mini-map that there was SCVs. Second of all, like, so don't, you know, at this level, don't fall into that little trap. Like, just get solid play before you start kind of spicing it up with these other things.
Yeah, and if you do some sort of weird cutesy opening that does involve a trick or whatever you want to say, make sure that you can abuse it in some really awesome, cute way, and if that doesn't work, you have some sort of really nice, great follow-through. This is exactly what Greg was saying earlier. If you open up with, like, an eBay to do that, if your opponent responds by trying to hold off Vultures with Mass Ling, you can get that guaranteed win. But if he doesn't open that way, there's still this nice, solid way to play off it normally.
Okay, so I think we've discussed those three games pretty clearly and kind of shown three dimensions of mech or mech-ish openings. We've got a lot of direct questions from people who wrote in the thread. The first one I'm going to open up to Idra is someone's asking, Idra, you seem to have a lot of positive thoughts on mech, but we basically never see you play mech. So why is it that you favor bio almost every time over mech play?
Well, really, that's because most of the games you see of me are against foreigners, and I feel that bio is a bit more safer, a bit more standard, because you played so many more games with it. I know how they're going to react. I know what to do in every situation, and I feel like it'd be an unnecessary risk to go with mech where, you know, some weird hydro timing or an all-in drop or trying to run lurkers around. Just anything could catch me off guard and cost me a game that I would have 99% won if I had just gone straight up normal bio. So really, only in very rare situations, like when I play on God's Garden or something where it's absolutely impossible to win with bio, will I go mech against a foreigner. Against Koreans, I'll do more varied play.
Okay, and moving on, someone is asking, how important in the early game is the actual Vulture harass and Vulture pressure? They're saying, you know, from kind of the low-level foreigner perspective, we feel like, and I'm going to include myself in this group, that mech can just turtle up and suddenly roll out with a huge army. But at a little higher level, how important is getting that pressure in with the Vultures?
At the higher level, you really need to do a lot with the Vultures, because people are going to be right on top of expanding. And I mean, if you don't do any damage with the Vultures, in any game that I play at a high level with mech, if I don't damage at all with Vultures, I feel like I cannot win, because, I mean, it's a big part of the build overall. I mean, if you look at the Jadong Sky High game, he does almost no damage to Jadong, and Jadong just crushes him. And, I mean, there was tech switches in there, as Day9 was saying earlier, but, you know, killing some drones is extremely, extremely important, and that's one of the reasons why Idra and I feel like mech is a little bit overhyped, because Zergs just aren't blocking the Vultures well enough.
Yeah.
Not sure if Day9 is still with us.
Yeah, I can't hear him. He started to say something, but
guess we'll never know.
I think he was going to try to disagree and say that you can just turtle.
Yeah, he was.
The gods of StarCraft kicked him from Vent or something.
Bad karma.
Okay,
heading on to further questions. Oh, alright, go ahead.
Now we're going to move on to some questions kind of specifically tailored for the Terran perspective. Someone is saying a lot of mech, especially the discussion we've had, is talking about, you know, Zerg switch to Hydras, now I need to start getting more tanks, or, you know, he's switching to Mutas, now is the timing I should get Starport. He's saying, when you open mech, you typically have a later comm set or no comm set until the later game, at least from his perspective. How can you scout what Zerg is doing without a comm set?
The Vultures are really big.
Yeah, you really need to be running your Vultures everywhere. First off, your SCV, you have to keep it alive as long as you possibly can. Like, literally, you should be able to keep it alive until you see a Spire go up. And if you don't, then you might be in trouble. You need to send another SCV. But other than that, you need to be running all over the place with Speed Vultures to just kind of keep an eye on his rally points, see what he's making exactly.
All right, something I've found is there's kind of three vulture openings that I'm aware of. There's just the one vulture into expand. Then there's one with mines where they kind of mine up the middle. And there's the third one where it can actually be two-fact vultures with speed, where they try to run by. At kind of a mid to high level foreigner level, which one of these is the safest, and which one, say on a standard mech map like Destination, which, if I'm going to make one of those my textbook TVZ mech opening, which one should it be?
I think that they all matter based upon what you scout. If the guy is going to go for some a quicker Hydra build, which happens a lot in the foreigner scene, people just kind of guess what build order you do and try to counter it. That's kind of the risky play that foreigners enjoy to do for whatever reason. The mines might be a little bit safer, but you can always, if you scout well enough, you can do pretty much whichever one that counters it best. Like, if they're going for Hydra, obviously you go for mines and maybe a bunker. And, you know, if it's more of a Ling-heavy game, you might want the speed vultures, or just going straight to mutas, you might want the speed vultures.
I think two.
Hey guys, I'm back. Sorry, my house lost power. Yeah, what's been going on while I was gone?
Just question and answer right now.
We thought you were about to disagree with the whole vulture needing to cause some damage.
Dude, I do disagree. Am I allowed to just like take a moment to disagree? Are you like really in the thick of discussion? I'll just take things over.
Not anymore.
Here we go. So I would say that in a lot of builds, you need to have some sort of pressure that goes on, or have something that you're taking advantage of, and vultures are the easiest thing to do, especially with a lot of one base openings. You get two factories really fast. You don't need Goliaths that early, so you can get vultures, and then you can kill off a whole bunch of stuff and still be okay against Mutilus Caress. It's like the most normal thing in the world. But a really great game where a mech player didn't go vultures at all and just crushed his opponent was Huasin against Bi Hero on Neo Medusa. Huasin, he opened up with, I think it was a 14 command center, just some sort of super fast expand and walled off.
Yeah, it was double command.
And then he was... Yeah, and he didn't need to go Vulture Harass. I would also say that he couldn't go Vulture Harass because he actually needed to get units fairly quickly, but he was able to get his economy up strong enough so that his timing push in the mid-game was super, super strong. And again, he's abusing his early resources. And if you're not getting a lot of early resources, you should abuse Vultures, so that way you can screw up your opponent's resources so you're still even. So, I mean, Vulture Harass can be very, very important and really deadly, but also make sure it's consistent with whatever ideology is behind your build. So,
No, indeed. That is quite true.
I say true things, Dan.
You do, quite clearly.
And also, all right. to derail a little further, one thing that's like really cool to note about that game is that Huasin made a ton of Goliaths. He was really, really aggressive with Goliaths, even long after his opponent started to transition to Mass Hydralisk, which was a really big key to allow him to be really aggressive. A lot of Terran players, when they want to push out in the mid-game with mech, they try to get a whole bunch of tanks in addition to like a decent-sized number of Goliaths, and that's almost always easy to stop for a Zerg player, because you can kind of delay it a little bit and then just make sure you have the right units for when you actually need to kill it. But by getting so many Goliaths so quickly, Huasin had this absurdly good concave. He just had like almost more Goliaths than his opponent had Hydralisks, which allowed him to get in this amazing position right outside Hero's base. So in general, the more aggressive you want to be, the more skewed towards Goliaths your composition should be. And if you watch the game, it's just a great, great example of this. It's just such a cool game.
Well, if I remember right, didn't Heroes and Mutas kill a lot of SCVs that game, and that Goliath push was kind of like a last-ditch all-in kind of thing? Like, he couldn't afford to wait for a better army composition because of the lost SCVs?
That didn't happen this game, no. I actually have it loaded up right now, and He lost a few SCVs, but he got the Goliaths out quickly enough that he was able to repel it. And again, sort of relating back to that vulture thing, he did that so he could hold it off so easily. If he went vultures, he would have lost a ton of SCVs and probably been forced to do that sort of all-in. That would be really funny, though, if I was like, yeah, here's a great little all-in if you screw up and lose everything. Super good. Totally recommend it.
All right, heading on to further questions. One person asked... Well, is there some sort of ideal drone saturation that a Zerg should be going for if they're given the opportunity to expand unimpeded against mech? Is that the reason why Zergs in the Destination games stopped expanding at 3 gas bases? Or does the pressure from the Terran moving out force them to immediately switch to unit production?
Well, that's sort of a this is what I would say is the hard part in playing against mech, because I make it sound easy. I'm like, oh, just expand a lot, because then really managing your economy and drone saturation becomes like the difficult part, and like all the neat subtlety stuff. So what you can do is you can expand a decent amount and not have a very high drone saturation. You're going to be focusing more on minerals than gas, because, again, gas is what you really need against Medic Marine, not against mech in the mid-game. So you can end up with something weird, like maybe 6 or 7 drones mining, and then you can stop and make a few units, and then you can sort of go back to making more drones. It's kind of hard for me to describe without a game to look at, but what'll end up happening is by doing this switch between getting some Mutalisks, getting some Hydralisks, you want to continually delay the push, that way you can squeeze out more drones. And unlike Medic Marine, there's no good phase to make drones. Because with Medic Marine, you get Lurkers, and then you kind of get to make drones until his vessel's getting close to coming out. But against mech, a lot of players have weirder timing pushes. And as long as you're not making an absurd amount of drones, as long as you have a decent amount of units being made here and there, you can get away with expanding quite a bit and making a lot of hatcheries early on.
All right. Someone also asked a question I'm interested in. For a while, we saw professionals using Dark Swarm in ZVP, actually, and a lot of foreigners were advising us, oh, it's unnecessary, we don't need defilers in ZVP. Nowadays, of course, we know that isn't true.
Did I do that?
No, not you, but there were a lot of foreigners advocating that we don't need defilers. This was a while back, but now we've always said, you know, you don't really need Hive to break mech. Jadong used it pretty effectively against Sky High in that final push with Hydra Defiler. And I can't remember the game, but there was a game on Neo Medusa. It was top left against 3 o'clock, Zerg at top left. And he just flanked in, and he had about 4 Defilers and put up the most ridiculous swarms I've ever seen. And just crushed
Hive over someone.
Yeah, the Zerg wasn't even that good, I seem to remember. But anyway, the Defilers really won that battle. So are Defilers something we should be adding to our play, or is it kind of unnecessary for foreigners? What do you think, Dave?
Well, I'll give my opinion first, and then I definitely want to hear what Artosis and Idra have to say about it. The way I would put it is that Hive is not crucial in the way that it's crucial against Medic Marine. I mean, honestly, you get Defilers in the mid-game in Zerg versus Terran against Medic Marine. That's how I would say it. It's like, oh yeah, your mid-game plan is to get Defilers really fast, and you can continue expanding and holding off absurd amounts of Medic Marine. I would say that against mech, the crucial thing in the mid-game is economy. And late-game, things like Dark Swarm can only help. I mean, Dark Swarm will obviously reduce damage from the mech army composition. But too many players get overly excited about getting a Hive. What Jadong did against Sky High, I think that's a totally awesome timing. He focused on having a strong mid game with getting a bunch of expansions and most importantly those upgrades. And then, because he had the money, he went for the Hive to bolster his already huge army. Hive can help do that, to make your big army better. But don't rely on it, because you see a lot of players do stuff like they'll get some lurkers and they'll say, okay, he can't push till vessels, which is true, and then they'll get a hive and then they'll throw down a dark swarm, run up with all their lurkers, and then all their lurkers will die in like 3 seconds because Terran has like 15 tanks and it's impossible to break. And then because they were going for this low econ style because they got their hive so fast, Terran's able to just go kill them once they kill off all the lurkers and the defiler. And that's just, that is the sort of thing that I want to make sure that people are avoiding.
You know, I think defilers can be good late game, as you were saying. And a few other instances that I think they're good in is when it's a scrappy game, which happens sometimes with mech versus Zerg, where both of you have injured each other a lot, and it's kind of this weird situation where Terran isn't huge, but you know, he has good upgrades, his army's still quite hard to kill. I think Plague in those situations can be quite useful. And also, specifically on Destination, if you use a little bit of Swarm with Lurkers on those high grounds, it really slows Terran down on the 3 o'clock and 9 o'clock hill expansions, which they really have to push up and kill those expansions over and over and over on that map specifically. That can slow Terran down quite a bit, which can be really annoying, especially if they didn't go heavy science vessel, which some mech players don't do. So that's just kind of in addition to what Danine was saying there.
What about Ultralisks and Queens? Do they have any use in mech?
Wait a minute. I know what we're talking about. Is this the Sky High versus Hero? Not Hero. Zero. I was close.
I don't know. It's just a question, sexy. But I don't know what he's referring to.
I think that's probably what he's referring to. The you know, that was a really cool strategy, and I feel like Zero could have executed it better. And maybe in that situation, maybe, I don't know. But as for Queens otherwise, I feel like, you know, maybe in some weird, long, drawn-out games, Broodling can be pretty good. It definitely does wear Terran down. If Terran's being really passive, I think it can be good, but the results are inconclusive for me so far.
Yeah, I can't really imagine a Terran player being like, oh, he's getting Queens, damn it. It just doesn't feel right.
When Terran is in a really low econ situation, they kind of have that big tank backbone that you're not able to break, and you have a lot of economy and you're not really in danger, but you can't do anything to them, then I think Broodling is okay to kind of wear down the tanks without really costing yourself much. But in just a normal straight-up game, I don't really think Queens are worth it.
Yeah.
And to the people who are, like, kind of asking these questions, like, you don't want to fool around with, like, cloning Queens to Broodling, man. Just get a lot of Hydras. Like, that's what you should be doing at this level.
Well, I briefly want to talk about that Zero Sky High game, because it was just awesome. So, So Hero opened up with the two hatch standard Mutalisk play, and he did his expand. And note that if at this point Sky High was going Medic Marine, Zero would be in the position for a very normal game. However, once he went two hatch Mutalis and had that expansion, he saw that Sky High was going mech. On Colosseum, it's really hard to push into the mains when you have those high ground naturals, especially for mech, because you need some high ground spotter and the tanks need to be positioned properly, and some colonies absolutely demolish Goliaths. So if you're making a ton of Mutalis the way that Zero did, Sky High is going to be having a disproportionate number of Goliaths, which makes his expansions even more secure. So right now we have 4 secure gas expansions and a skew towards tons of Goliaths. So suddenly, by getting 6 or 7 Queens, Zero is guaranteeing that he won't lose these expansions, because there's no reason for the Terran player to say, oh, well, he's getting a whole bunch of Mutalisks, let me go ahead and get 15 tanks. He's just not going to get that many. He's going to have just enough tanks to break the sunken colonies and use his Goliaths to make sure that the tanks don't die. But by getting the Queens, he can kill off those tanks. So now all of a sudden, we still have 4 very secure gas expansions, and we're almost insured a consistent skew towards Goliaths into the later stage of the game. So he gets a whole bunch of Ultralisks, which traditionally suck against mech because tanks and mines do so much damage to Ultralisks. But because, again, we have predominantly Goliaths in here, the Ultralisks are really, really effective right when they come out, because Sky High's not really expecting it. So in a sense, it's kind of an all-in-ish kind of play. I wouldn't say it's all-in that the Ultralisks need to kill the Terran right when you get them, but you really do need to have some huge amount of damage dealt when you get those first Ultralisks out. Because what we saw happen in the game is that Sky High was in a really kind of tight spot for a little bit, but then he got tanks and mines, and the Ultralisks were just couldn't really do much, and his play sort of started to fall apart. But that's just like a really clever use of queens to abuse the fact that there's that skew towards Goliaths. And that is what I have to say about that game.
Well, I think... go ahead, Vera.
Alright, to change the subject a little bit and head to a different set of questions, someone asks, a while ago, Flash used his build that focused on getting Goliaths and an M&M force and tanks and pushes out four defilers. How is Zerg supposed to play against that day?
Oh man, that strategy I don't like playing against too much. I mean, really, the point of getting the Goliath Medic Marine Army early on is that it allows. Okay, so here we go. Now, I've collected my thoughts. I'm ready to talk StarCraft. So, or did I? What was I talking about? I've completely lost my train of thought. Oh yeah, okay, now I remember what we're talking about. Yeah, so the Goliath Medic Marine is really good at holding off Mutalisk harass. You get the range of the Goliaths, and if they get close to the Goliaths with the Mutalisks, then the Medic Marines start doing a ton of damage. But note that the Terran is on one factory and one barracks for a little bit longer than he wants to be. So what you can do as a Zerg is when you see this, you don't try to go for super aggressive harass. Instead, you can get another expansion and an extra hatchery, sometimes two, before you get the Lurkers. Because the normal transition in Zerg vs. Terran is to go Mutalisks and then get Lurkers pretty fast. That way you can defend your fourth gas and then you go for a Hive against... This play, you can go Mutalisk Harass, expand, then get another hatchery, then go Lurkers. Because you don't need the Lurkers because there's no mid-game push that's going to come out that's really that threatening. When they still have one barracks and one factory. Because if you make one or two sunken colonies at your expansion and at your choke, you're pretty much defended with your Mutalisk. There's not much they can do. A game that I think is a really good example is July vs. Flash on Neo Medusa in the GOM TV Classic. That is a great example of how July, instead of trying to find some hole in Flash's defense, abused Flash's lack of mobility and threat in the mid-game to just expand a bunch without really worrying too much about it. And that set July up in a great position that he lost because he's too aggressive and loses all his games that way.
And, you know, I just want to throw something in about this build to Terran players out there. I don't suggest anyone really uses this build. I think it's actually quite garbage. It feels like an extremely mid-ranged build. It's not very good at anything. And, you know, Flash won a few games with it. I think that was just because it was this new thing no one was quite used to yet. And I think that it has really
NSP
no
Roro.
Potential. Yeah, I think it has no potential overall of being a good build ever.
Yeah, it's not even that good versus Mutas, because, like, if you get into that point where you do have the little core of the Marines, and you have Goliath range, then it's okay versus Mutas. Before that, there's a little timing there where it's really hard to hold off the 2-hatch Muta. And I think he lost, like, two or three games to Yellow and Luxury and whatnot with that build versus 2-hatch Muta. So, really, it's just kind of weak in general.
Yeah, there was also that Jadong versus Flash on Return of the King. It was like the big game that Flash had to win, and then, you know, a bunch of Mutalisks and Lynx walk up and just kill him. Well, to play the devil's advocate, one thing that is really good about the game is that you do get a little bit more control in the mid game when you don't die. It's kind of a weird composition when you move out with Goliath and Medic Marine in the mid game. You can't exactly do the normal stuff you'd want to do as Zerg against it. I mean, it's not going to break any of your expansions, but you can get a decent amount of center control, and we saw Flash do this to some degree of success on God's Garden when he did this opening. He was able to just sort of secure the mid pretty easily. And then when his big late game Medic Marine army came out, he was already in a good position. He wasn't really trying to push out into the middle. He just got to walk out into the middle. But you do die a lot when you do this build, so don't do it.
Well, just glancing through this list, I think we've actually touched on everything in one way or another. A lot of the questions are have been answered. You know, don't rush Hive. Zerg needs to expand and get a lot of shit. Terran needs to keep his scout alive. Ver, do you have anything to add for these three guys?
Well, I guess the only thing that I would like to focus on a little bit more is on the tricky volcanic builds that Kanata and Fantasy use. And well, I guess this applies to Mech as well. Overall, in what situations is the 8-racks bunker rush into Vulture stronger than simply opening Mech in your main without the bunker rush? For both Mech and for the volcanic builds.
I'll let Aydra answer that more in detail, but I want to point out that SKT1 actually always has great plans against Jadong specifically, like that game Kanata against Jadong,
That's so
where
true.
it is quite true. Because Jadong, the thing about this guy, and the reason why I think this build was done specifically exactly as it was done, is that Jadong probably never played a game against exactly that, and that's kind of how you kill Jadong. That's how Fantasy did it on Medusa during the Pro League playoffs. You do something he's never seen before, and you do it really well. And I think that's kind of exactly why he opened up specifically like that in that particular game.
I mean, the general rule I always say about 8-raxing, excuse me, is that it should be designed to do damage to the Zerg, not to kill him. And also, it makes a little bit more risky in the opening, because if you mess up at all, you can sometimes be in a worse position than if you hadn't. But if you're good enough, overall it will provide a good amount of an advantage. Always the most important thing in StarCraft is that if you're 8-raxing to do damage, make sure that you're taking advantage of it in some fashion. That's why 8-rax into Vulture is just sorry, excuse me, is so normal, because when you 8-rax, the Zerg generally makes a lot of Zerglings and doesn't get to get that much gas. So you have a lot of slow Zerglings at the start, and if you get a Vulture really fast, you can continue to put pressure on him. That's why that follow-through is so normal. So for instance, if you 8-raxed and then were able to wall off your front, that's again a totally normal thing to be abusing. But if you 8-rax and it delays your expansion and Zerg gets to expand really quickly afterwards, then you know, like don't 8-rax. Don't do it.
Yeah, 8-rex into mech is a really powerful build in general. It kind of sets you up in the same position that the eBay rush into two-factor I was talking about earlier does, because it just makes the vulture that much more powerful because their sunken is normally going to be later or out of position. Sometimes they'll even cancel the hatchery, like I think it was Flash vs. Effort on Destination like a long time ago. He proxy 8 Rexed, and Effort scouted and actually went 12 pool instead of going hatchery first, and so then he had to make Lings, and he just kept in this whole cycle where he was controlling everything he did because he had to respond to the threats Flash was making, and so that just kept him on his back foot and let Flash control everything and eventually set up for that timing push that there was no way Zerg could hold.
Yeah. And also, a really good map to do the 8 racks into mech is Andromeda. Is super awesome for that. You can wall off your front and 8 racks, and the positions are really, really close. And then once you hold that off, you can go mech. And it's like super, super awesome to do. And actually pretty easy. I actually never go Medic Marine on Andromeda because it's just so easy to do that opening for me. Because my Terran control is not very good, and if you're struggling with Terran control and just want to change things up a little bit, 8 racks into mech on Andromeda is really good.
I think the point they're trying to get across to everyone is, you know, you don't need to know the nuances of every build if you're just going to play this game casually. I mean, you don't need to know when this happens, I need to do this, or things like that, but at a high level, you need to look at your build, say, this is the strength. These are the strengths of it. From these strengths, this follow-up makes sense. And it doesn't take that long to do. You don't even need to do it consciously, although it is better. But I think that's something that can be applied to everything, not even mech. That's something anyone trying to improve should, you know, take 5-10 minutes, look at their build. Where are the holes? What happens when? What is strong coming from this? And that's something that can benefit you quite a bit.
Yeah, and so I want to make a point that's going to be long-winded, so that's basically par for the course for me. So, like, think about what you want your basic game plan to be, which could be looking at the map and saying what's good on this, what's bad on this. In terms of big ideas, don't think of your opening first. Think about the mid-game. So, for instance, someone would look at Katrina and say, huh, it looks like mech would be really strong on this because no matter where I push, there's tons of expansions and lots of gas. Let me try to develop a good mech play. And then you should say, well, what opening would be best for this? Should I open up with Vulture Harass? Should I open up with 14 Command Center? Is an 8 racks best? And then you should have that opening serve the greater purpose of your build. Too many people start and think about openings. They say, well, I'm going to 8 racks. What do I do next? It's much better to do it in the other direction. So in another example that was really eye-opening to watch was Fantasy versus Jadong. On Heartbreak Ridge in their semifinal match. So when I look at Heartbreak Ridge, I think, wow, it's really hard to get a fourth gas for Zerg. And this is clearly what Fantasy saw too, because when he opened, he did a cute one racks, one factory, one starport play, but he was going for vessels and tanks early, which meant that when Fantasy's army came out, he already had mines for vultures, and he had four vessels instead of the usual one when you do your mid-game push. In other words, Fantasy set himself up immediately for a late-game army that came out much earlier than normal. He wasn't able to put on too much pressure in the mid-game, but that's okay because the fourth gas is just so dangerous to take. So by identifying that he needed to get this really strong mid-game army, this unusually strong mid-game army focused on vessels, that's how he was able to decide to open up with this cute one racks, one factory, one starport build. He didn't just open up and say, oh, look, I have a bunch of vessels, isn't that cool? He thought about what would be most important for his mid-game first. So especially in mech, that can be really, really fragile if you do it wrong, and you can have a lot of frustrating losses if you're not macroing properly. Thinking about what is good on this map, what can mech abuse on it, and then trying to make an opening geared towards that will bring you a lot more success. All right, next question.
I think that just about covers it for mech. We've been going for about an hour and a half. I don't know if Artosis and Idris specifically, if you just want to summarize your thoughts on mech to a sentence or two, specifically designed for, you know, the C level player.
I would love to, Chill. Thank you. You know, mech, if you're looking to just play some fun games, go ahead and do some mech. If you're actually looking to become really great at StarCraft, I suggest that you stick more to Bionic. It's good to, you know, play a little bit of mech here and there, but Bionic overall is going to make you better at RTS games. It requires a ridiculous amount of speed and multitasking and a lot of things that you don't use in the other Terran matchups. And if you get yourself into a rut where you just go mechanic against everything, you're kind of be like this slow player. And also, Bionic is more fun to play. So that's my two cents on it.
Yes, I agree with that 100%.
Well, on the forum, actually, a while ago, like a long time ago, I said I think mech is going to end up like the two-base Reaver into Carrier build for PvT. And I still think that. It's going to be a little cheesy. It's on some maps, like Katrina was, or like Destination is now, it's going to be the best option because of specific features of the map. But overall, as Zergs, you figure out how to handle it and figure out how to counter it, it's going to kind of fall into, like, people are going to stop using it, and Bio is going to come back into the forefront, and I think that's how it'll end up.
I actually have a haiku about meching for Zerg. So it goes a little bit like this. Don't get a fast hive. Expanding is much better. Enjoy raping mech. So that really is what I repeat to myself before every game. Yeah, I know. It actually is a haiku.
Whoa.
I'm not... I know. I say what I mean.
That was totally a haiku.
I know. Everyone was counting on their fingers. I could feel it. But yeah, I mean, seriously, you don't end up with anywhere near as cool, exciting, dramatic games against a mech player. I think it's more fun to play against a medic marine player because you can end up with something where he has like four or five control groups of stuff and you have two lurkers and a swarm and one of the lurkers has been irradiated and you're like, come on, defense! You're just like freaking out.
All right.
And then when
I
it holds,
it
you feel like you're the man.
Yeah, that's absolutely awesome.
Yeah, that's so
yeah,
fun.
And
I love it when that happens.
But like when, but like against a mech, it's basically, I'm going to get a whole bunch of shit. Oh, I didn't have enough. I'll try to get more next game. And that's fun for a while, I guess, but everyone should start going Medic Marine to make games on IC Cup more fun. Contribute to the joy of StarCraft.
Make Defilers more powerful.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest problem with Terran vs. Zerg, is the Defilers aren't good enough. Swarm needs to be, like, 100%
yeah.
bigger.
You know, well, I think what they need to do is just give the Defiler 5 starting armor, because it doesn't have enough already.
Oh god, I can't wait to get you two in here for the TVP session if we ever do one.
Yeah, okay. I want to see the Protoss you want to try to match us up with. We're gonna destroy.
I'm gonna bring in the finest from Peru. All right, well, I think we've pretty much burned the candle out at this point. We've been going on for a little over an hour and a half. I want to thank Artosis, Idra, and Day9 for coming on, rambling about mech for a little bit. Thank you to the Liquipedia staff for running the Liquipedia. It's pretty ridiculous how big that's gotten and how much information is in there. So if you've forgotten about it, take a look. And thank you for Ver for coming along, and thanks a lot to Mistlord for streaming this for us. I think there's probably going to be a follow-up dealing with the other matchups for players who want to improve and also want to understand the matchup a little bit watching professional games. So just stay tuned for that. Thanks, everyone.